Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
A-S-S. I'm just kidding. We're not going to actually spell it out. Guys, it's assumptions. Yeah. Welcome back. This one's going to get spicy because we sent out a form to our crew. Mm-hmm. And they put in assumptions about us, maybe before they met us, or assumptions that they still have. And there'll also be assumptions about Smosh in general. Woo. So we're going to go over every single one of them and confront them after.
It's so nice to be a part of a form where I'm not in trouble.
Oh, well, we'll see. We'll find out.
I don't know about that, Damien.
It's true.
Damien, will you... Yeah, please read the first assumption. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's Trevor, Courtney, Amanda, and Damian.
Hello.
You shouldn't have had to say your own
name. Oh, my God. What? We're on the new set.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, this chair is so comfy, bro.
First of all, that's what I was spelling, A-S-S. Not what you guys think. And look, whiskey.
That's why you smell like my grandpa.
I am your grandpa.
Hell yeah, let's unpack that.
Do you like that?
I did. Yes.
Do you like it?
And, all right, from our crew, or as I like to call them, Brennan and his little friends.
Ooh, get him.
Okay, this first one is from Caitlin. Caitlin assumes Trevor hurt himself really badly as a teenager doing something insane.
Hurt myself really bad.
I want to know why. Has she seen like him run really fast? Is that why? Because I have.
I do run. Yeah, no, honestly, that makes sense. Because I feel like I do a lot of stuff. I consider myself a bit athletic. And then I also am like,
you play ball.
You know, I'm going hard. I'm falling sometimes.
You look like you did something like you were rollerblading at a skate park and like tried to do a flip and it did not go well. Like you feel like you look like an extreme sports guy.
Did you injure yourself as a kid?
Yeah, as a kid, I was just like out there, you know, I was in Idaho, I was out on my bike riding through the neighborhood. Yeah. I remember like this one time, I have this memory of like, I was riding my bike and then something happened. I like flew over the handlebars
and just
hit my head and was just like bleeding. But I was like a walk it off kid. I just like got up and like walked home.
That
and
makes
then, like,
sense to
I
me.
Showed up and my mom was like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. I fell off the bike.
And now I don't know math.
So Caitlin was kind of right.
Well, I guess as a teenager, I had a very like near death experience. And I guess...
Okay.
You could say it was because I was being stupid. I was whitewater rafting. And I went out of a raft in a class 4 rapid and got stuck underwater.
Oh my.
Are you under the raft?
No.
You were stuck underneath like a...
Yeah. So it was kind of, the river was taking a left turn and there was kind of like, it sped up going into this turn and... In the main part of the river, it was like very shallow and there were lots of rocks. Mm-hmm. And there was this kind of narrow passage that you had to take. You have to hit it with speed. Otherwise, there's kind of a slanted rock and the river just carries the raft kind of up on this rock. So we didn't have enough speed and we went up and just like spilled out.
Ooh. Of course.
And it was me and my dad. Yeah. And so I immediately got like sucked under the water. Oh. And at first I was stuck by my hips and I like couldn't move. It was the craziest thing, just like water rushing. Like I can't just, it's just like pounding water around my head.
Oh.
Somehow like wiggled free and then was starting to float up because I was wearing a life jacket, but got sucked back down, hit my head on a rock. And I still have like a scar on my forehead. And then got stuck again by my foot. Like my foot got stuck between two rocks.
Ooh, Trevor.
And I like slipped my foot out of the little, like we were wearing like wetsuits and then I had like a little boot on and I like slipped my foot out of the boot.
Smart.
And then was able to like go down river and like get off the side.
I would never go near any body of water ever again. That's insane.
It was brutal.
Where were you?
It was in Oregon on the Owyhee River.
Whoa.
But it was awful because we're just out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
It's not like we can just pull off. So I had a whole another day of being on the raft.
No.
Yep.
And like more like class four rapids that I was like, I was so terrified.
Yeah.
I was just like sitting in the raft, like huddled down. I was one boot short. So my foot was just super cold.
Oh my God, the dog was out.
And I was just like sitting in this raft. Like I just have to get through this and get off this river because I almost died and I don't want to be
here.
Oh, poor good thing. Job you got through it. I wonder where that little shoe is now.
Yeah, who knows?
It's stuck in that rock and yeah. fish live in it.
Yeah, fish lives
fish
in
are
it.
Like, whoa, cool, a boot.
Lucky.
Lucky.
This one's not filled with food like the last one.
Yeah, that's so
weird.
There's
a foot in it.
Guess the kid got out.
So I don't know if that feels like it seemed like the assumption was more like I like fell off, you know, a building and like broke my
leg. You seem like I bet you I can jump that kind of kid is what I got.
Yeah.
I was jumping off roofs, but I was kind of goaded so I wasn't getting hurt.
That's
and
crazy.
That's where the truth is. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had that first head injury so that it was calloused and strong to protect you from the river one.
Exactly.
I think I passed this to maybe Trevor or
pass it to Trev.
Here you go, Trev. I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
New set. Immediate spill.
Correct assumption.
I would say so.
Yeah, Caitlin. Right.
Good job, Caitlin.
Well done.
Okay, this assumption is from Gareth, our South African
South
friend.
Africa.
Yeah, who I play Fortnite with.
Whoa.
And this is about court. I did not realize how majorly online court has been over the years since a cub. Since you were a cub. I knew they were obviously online, but because of their discussions on URL, I did not realize how deep they were on the internet.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I do give homeschool energy in that like it's almost like Amish that I didn't have internet.
You didn't have internet at all?
I had lots of internet, but because of being homeschooled and maybe it was like because I had so many siblings, it was like I didn't have that. I don't know.
Were you homeschooled?
I was homeschooled for the first few years and then just kind of got used to, because all my siblings had like a buddy in terms of age. And I had like this 5-year gap and then like almost 4-year gap, 3-year gap.
So you had the internet.
So I had, but I wasn't allowed on it a ton, but I watched a lot of people be online. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe just having a lot of time on my hands when I was young too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I am online. I'd be online.
You've been online since a cub.
Since a cub. I think this kind of statement is more that like, hey, I wouldn't imagine someone is doing so well in life compared to how much you know about the internet. Like,
that is what he meant. Yeah.
I am scarred for sure from when we be spending time just Googling things when you're too young. You shouldn't know how to Google.
Oh, yeah. I Googled everything. But I was like obsessed with the news. So you can imagine what I was Googling.
Were you Googling?
Get into it.
Would you ever like... search things like Google things like does this exist, like video of a cat catching a bug in the pool.
Ooh.
And then you just like see if that video exists and then YouTube would be like no.
Interesting.
Mine was like crime scene photos. It's awful. It's really bad.
Oh my God.
Oh, I had a phase like that too.
Mine was like Manson family. I like did like a deep dive way too young.
Whoa.
It was terrible. I never got caught for it.
Or like those like rough 911 calls. I was way too young to be listening to scary 911
calls.
Those always like freaked me out because I would be on some kind of like funny like post thing. Like it'd be a funny flash video and then a funny meme and like a crazy thing. And then it would just be like someone died. And I'm like, oh God. Like I would avoid those websites as much as I could.
No, that's not crazy. Me.
No, I was on the internet. If I was on the internet like 90% of the time, I was just like on addictinggames.com or RuneScape. I like wasn't like Googling things. I was just like playing flash games.
Oh, I was Googling like ghost houses and like haunted places and like videos of haunted hauntings.
Yeah. Haunted hauntings.
Haunted hauntings, my favorite kind.
No, I mean, that kind of like thrill is cool. Also, it has like sleepover vibes. Like I remember being with friends and like you would share back and forth like, these are the videos I know, these are the videos I know. And then you'd be like, wait, there's one listed here that's just like 7 ghost sightings. Do you want to click it?
And no, seriously.
No, that's real. The sleepovers, we were whipping out YouTube. We were watching the videos of the sleepovers.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to do another one?
Yeah, we want to do another one.
I think we got it.
Okay. This is... Okay. This next one. Audrey assumed Amanda was a woman of color. Do you know how many times I've seen on Twitter being like, wait, guys, like a tweet that is like, wait, guys, what is Amanda?
And then what someone, is Amanda?
I know.
Bro, that's so funny.
I know. And then a reply being like, I think she's Filipino.
Welcome to my whole life. This is my entire life. Me and my sisters, we'd travel or go anywhere, and people thought I was Middle Eastern my entire life.
Whoa.
Middle Eastern, Iraqi, Persian. I got Persian a lot. I got Armenian all the time.
Whoa.
I got Italian once, and then they immediately went, no. They're like, no. They're like, no one has ever guessed, you know, where my family's from, ever.
Mm-hmm. Which we all know is... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you have part Portuguese.
I'm Portuguese.
Yeah, I know.
Portuguese. But someone recently thought I was Puerto Rican. Hey, well, listen, let me just say, all of them are compliments. All of them.
But the girl.
Because me and all my sisters would go around, and in the summer, we'd get really, really tan, and people truly had no idea. Mm.
Yeah,
idea.
I never get that assumption. That's crazy.
That's so weird. We're like the same.
Why. Yeah.
You're the crazy. Two tallest people.
We're like the same.
And sometimes the fan art, the shade is the shade.
Oh, fan art is shading it. And you know what? I appreciate it. I'm grateful for them.
That is so funny.
That's so funny. Truly, truly my whole life, especially coming out here, people were like, you could just go out. You could just do anything. And I was like,
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing to say.
I can't really do that. No.
Weirdly enough, when I was a kid, like I think elementary school or early middle school, I asked my dad if we were anything, because I'd never known, because when you're white, you just don't talk about it. And and my dad said we had Portuguese in us. And I was like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Like, I wanted to learn about it. And then if people asked me, like, I think there's some Portuguese in me, I don't know. And then years and years later, I do my 23andMe. Nope, none, yeah. Zero. I am as European, UK as it gets.
Whoa.
Like, no, I don't know where he got that. And I don't know, I was... a child. So
you know what?
I just,
wow. How fun though.
How fun for a little bit. I had a little bit of an identity.
A little dream.
A little bit.
Yeah, I was Portuguese for a couple years.
Yeah. Yeah,
wasn't feeling it.
I will say like where my family is from in the Azores, I'm like, oh, I understand now. Because their skin is very dark. They have really light eyes. They're like very, very, very tan. Dark, dark, dark hair. Mm. They look very similar. Like my mom gets very, very dark. My grandmother gets very dark. So they look like them. And I went to the islands and I was like, oh, okay, this actually makes sense. The only thing is I am like triple their size.
Like height?
Like triple their size.
Yes, you could beat them up.
Me and my sisters, we walked around the Azores. People were like... I'm talking like triple their size.
Wow.
Like what happened? My papa was like 6'7".
Don't do that to me. Don't do this.
I'm going to change that. Guys. He was 6'6". I don't even want to say his real height. He was.
Anyways, man.
Either way,
please, God.
Let me just say, Audrey, yeah, same. Everybody. My whole life. Truly. And you know what? I take it as a compliment. Straight up. People, I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take it. Okay.
Next assumptions.
Sabrina assumes Damien went through an amateur magician phase.
Oh, no.
Oh yes.
Come on.
Yeah, I absolutely did.
I also agree with this.
You learned sleight of hand. You know how to pick a lock or two, don't you?
You got a couple of tricks up your sleeve.
Play your cards.
Birds. Yeah, no, I did, when I was a youngster, get some of the, like, card trick books from Barnes & Noble or whatever, and it's like, 101 card tricks to blow their minds or whatever. And I can still do a few, but there was a time in high school where I would wear, like, carpenter jeans that had, like, a small pocket on the side that was perfect for a deck of cards.
Yeah, of course.
Looking back, it's probably meant for, like, cigarettes, but I'm cool in a different way.
No, cards.
Yeah, deck of cards. And I would just do tricks for folks. But shout out to history teachers are usually so cool. Shout out to Coach Jones, the history teacher.
Coach Jones,
sounds like
thank you.
Because there was a kid the class over in high school that like also did magic stuff. So my teacher basically said to the other teacher, like, I bet my magic kid could beat your magic kid. And they actually set aside time at the end of a class for like us each
to
do a crazy trick. Yeah.
A magic
trick. What is your craziest trick that you've ever done?
hiding a signed dollar bill in a lemon that, like, you cut open. You're like, here's your signed dollar bill or whatever. But that, the broken dollar bill or whatever. But mostly it's card trick stuff. I know basic card tricks and, like, very low-end sleight of hand. Like, I don't have the hands or the finger size to, like, actually be the person that's just, like, pulling stuff out of the air.
I bet if you worked at it for a long time, you probably would have gotten
it. Could.
Wait, can you reveal the secrets of the lemon dollar bill? Or is that like, you can't do that? Sacrilege.
That's sacrilege.
Can you reveal your secrets?
Your secret. Sack the lemon.
I don't know if I got it from like a magician's community. It was probably like in a little book.
So can you? No.
I'll say one side of it.
Whoa!
I think it had something to do with like, I did need one specific lemon to be picked. So when I had the like person,
a big lemon?
Or like a dollar was always in the lemon.
There was three different lemons that they could choose from. So if they like picked one and it was the wrong one, I'd be like, all right, we're eliminating that one. Pick another.
Right.
And then they'd pick another and be like, we're eliminating that one. There's the lemon. But it's all about sort of like guiding the room into what you need them to see or think. It's like making sure their eyes are on one thing and not the other.
That's a magician's, crazy. You know.
I think Trevor's mind's blown a little bit.
Just no, honestly, you just hitting with the like, if they picked the wrong one, I'd pretend that wasn't like they were picking that one, but that I'm eliminating. I just like went like back in my brain of like every time someone's done a magic trick and I'm like, have I been getting bamboozled this whole, obviously I've been getting bamboozled the whole time. I never know what the fuck is going on.
Whoa,
but
that's the greatest thing in the world. And now I realize I've been fucked with.
But it's still like, that's just one part of things where it's like, you know, you still are.
I still like it.
Yeah.
It's a fun lesson of like when people don't know when something is part of the show or not. So messing up, it really is not a big deal kind of thing.
I love magic. I'm telling you.
I think it's fun too.
When there's a magician, I like truly, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Same.
Like I turn into like a 5-year-old. I'm like, how are you doing this?
Well, that's the point. Same. You want to be fooled. You want to be impressed. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going just to be like, I know all the tricks are done. Like,
lame.
That's why I have fun at the Magic Castle too, even though sometimes I know how things are done, but I never turn to someone and be like, I know that's done. It's like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a little whimsy, man.
A little whimsy.
As a treat. This one comes from Rain. I assumed Trevor would share his baking goods with the class, but that hasn't happened yet.
Rain bakes all the time.
Between Rain and Courtney, we get Chapman. So much
I'm glad I get to talk about this because truly, like, Rain and Courtney, they bake so much stuff, and it makes me feel like a fraud. I'm like, they're out there baking beautiful and incredibly delicious things.
And lots of it.
And they're bringing it in, and I'm like, I don't
Do you
want to
bring in something?
Yeah.
I do, but I don't bake. I'm like a
What do you
I'm
mean?
Oh, you don't bake. You're a chef.
I don't know. Like, I truly, and it's been something actually, like, this, like, in the last few months, honestly, this past year, I've been trying to cook and bake more. I love baking and I love cooking, and it was a passion of mine, and that's why I went to culinary school, and like, I loved it. As soon as it became like my full-time job, it became really difficult for me to do it at home. And I think I'm still suffering the like ramifications of me like spending 8 hours a day cooking for 5 years straight and being like, I don't want to do it at home.
That makes total sense. I mean, I love to bake for fun because it's therapy for me. I love to like follow a recipe and be super present. But if I had to do it for work, I probably wouldn't come home and bake for fun.
Yeah.
But it's tedious.
I'm getting back to it. I've been wanting to bake more. I've been baking more. I've been doing more stuff. So I'm
like
sorry, Rain. Fingers crossed. I'll bring in some baked goods.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Wow.
Show.
I'm hungry.
So yeah, who knows? Maybe there's some baked goods on the horizon for the Smosh crew.
Okay.
Now that I've been publicly shamed.
And you gotta give some to Rain.
Okay, sometimes
I will say, Rain and Courtney, they go all out.
They really do.
And honestly, I'm scared at this point because what if I bring something in, like it could be not as good and I'm gonna feel like a fraud.
No.
Gotta practice and bring stuff in.
No. Okay.
It's also, shout out to them for like, usually if there's one thing where they're like, we made a cinnamon loaf. It's like, this is cinnamon loaf, and then this is cinnamon loaf with blueberries. This is white chocolate raspberry cinnamon loaf. This is cinnamon loaf gluten-free, and this is cinnamon loaf with no sugar.
Love it.
How do they do it? I don't know how.
It's wild.
I don't know. All right. Next assumption. This one's an anonymous one. We have an anonymous assumption here.
Show your face.
Court would kill it with a mustache. I feel like they come alive whenever they wear a fake one.
That's so nice.
I love that this
is
anonymous.
Awesome.
They're like, I don't
want to
say my name.
I just think you'd kill a
mustache. That's a great compliment.
I have straight up drawn a mustache on my face and gone to a party.
It's awesome.
Where there was no theme or costumes.
I love that.
You do get a little active with a mustache.
What kind of mustache, though? What kind of mustache are we talking? Thin, curled?
Handlebar mustache.
Handlebar?
Probably just like the classic. Like nothing, no flare, no twist. Just like a good old top lip, you know? Mm. When I drew it on, it was with eyeliner, and that shit does not come off, so I was set. I love the try not to laugh ones. Those cheap ones stay on.
Yeah, they do.
They really do.
They stick.
And usually when I do a character, like there was a Vincenzo runner I did in Try Not to Laugh, where I just didn't want to take the mustache off because they stay on.
They stay on and they're so fun.
And yeah. Thank God, because spirit gum is how you otherwise put on fake facial hair.
I mean, that's Tinky Winky. Tinky Winky's big ass stash is spirit gum. And boy, oh boy, my
Professor
skin
Miller's is
the
same.
Happy.
Yeah, Professor Miller's mustache. I like that mustache. That shape is a good shape.
Oh,
I got sometimes, well, I say sometimes, I've done it a couple times as a bit, but I'll get like the Just for Men, like the stuff that you put in your beard.
Yes,
like
I dyed my brows with that.
Yeah, I'll grow out a mustache and then you put that in it to get like a really like dark, like full looking Ted Lasso stash. Is pretty nice. Funny.
I love a mustache so much.
I feel like you look really good with like a little one. Like not like the line, but like, cause you know, some people it's like,
thin.
Audacious.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like there's Eddie Burback.
The hair doesn't go up for me a lot. It doesn't go all the way up to the nostril.
Same with Baby No Money. Kind of, I think some people groom it that way.
So just a mustache that's attached to the top of your lip.
Yeah. I've never super liked myself. I've tried like a mustache before and I've never like super liked it, but who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to just try some new stuff.
You know, I feel like Curtis Connor's mustache would look good on you.
I would agree with that for sure. And also like grass is always greener because I wish mine didn't go all the way up to the nostrils. It's not fun to trim up there.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason I grow out even a little beard mustache combo is because like it's too much maintenance to shave every single day that
close. You get like 3 o'clock shadow.
That's a great way to put it.
Your beard grows fast.
I shave and it's immediately like boom, like Homer Simpson.
Do you guys want to do something crazy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have never seen my dad without a mustache.
It's
my
a weird
mom
experience.
Has never seen my dad without
what?
A mustache.
That's crazy.
He's that never crazy. Shaved it.
Whoa.
No,
ever.
That's crazy.
What is under there?
My dad is always, he had a very like, since I was in high school, he had like a pretty like long beard, like he grows out his beard. And I do remember one time, it was when I was living on the East Coast and my dad like sent me a picture and he had shaved his beard and it truly took me like 5 seconds. I was like, I started typing out like, who is this?
Yeah.
Because I was like, I truly did not recognize him without a beard because he'd had it so big for so long.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah.
My dad was that way too. Like he started off like he had a beard mustache combo for a lot of my like childhood.
Yeah.
And then he like shaved it to just the mustache. And I remember being like, what is going on?
Get out of my house.
I was like a toddler. I was
like,
those videos are so wild.
You should get in there and shave it.
I've asked him.
You should
trust
do it.
Me and my sisters are like, Dad.
It's probably
when
like,
are you gonna get rid of it? Like, I'm kind of worried there's like a huge growth under there.
I think it's gonna be ghostly pale. Like it's never seen the sun.
No, well, because his brother looks just like him and he had a mustache forever and shaved it. And I was like, Dad, look at Uncle Rich. Like, that could be you. It looks great. And he was like, nah, I'm not doing that. Nah.
Wow, to be so committed for
he
that
just
long.
Will never shave it, which is like so his personality.
Wow.
You're like, Dad, do you want to drink some water? He's like, nah.
He's got a really fucked up tattoo under there or something.
Just like something. Bitches. Killing
oh
it.
I can't shave it, man. I can't do it.
DTF. The road I'm going down is bad.
Keep going.
By the way, as a child, thought mustaches was just nose hair coming all the way out.
That's really cute. Oh.
That's awesome.
Okay. All right. This is a long one. Ready? My desk was right next to Amanda's, to the right of her desk, for my first 6 months of working at Smosh, and I never saw her there once. Pre-maternity leave. I'm so convinced that she was never there that my assumption is that she won't be able to tell you whose desk was next to hers.
Oh my God.
Dude. Yes. I
Chloe.
Love this.
Oh yeah, it was Chloe.
I know it was Chloe. Here's the deal. And I'll be honest about it. I couldn't get any work done there.
Yeah.
Good job, though.
I loved my desk. Oh, I remember it was Chloe. And I remember Chloe was like, I never see you. I couldn't.
I thought it was Danielle.
I couldn't. No, Danielle actually took
to
my desk.
Yeah.
Well.
Danielle took my desk because I wasn't there. I was like, take it. I'm pretty sure.
That environment
I couldn't get any work done there simply because I get really, really distracted. Same with at home. Like if I'm working and H is on Instagram, I can't work. I literally lose my mind.
Like the, video?
If he's on Instagram and he's playing it out loud from his phone, I'm like,
yeah, if I'm like in the middle of an email and someone starts talking, I'm toast.
So
like,
so I just genuinely couldn't get any work done. So I actually worked way better at home or on the couch area in the lobby.
Yeah, it was a lot quieter.
And also we were shooting all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Wasn't because I was slack off.
No, I get
it. Like, I was working, I swear. I was working in other places.
No, but I know it was Chloe. I know it was you.
I don't know why I thought it was Danielle because Chloe mentions being next to Danielle in there.
Well done. You knew?
But I have a desk at home, and I'm obsessed with it. I'm there all the time.
Oh.
And it's quiet as hell.
Who sits next to you there?
Nobody.
Oh. Your
not
baby?
A soul.
Not even Cole?
No.
Yeah, if Amanda doesn't want to get distracted, she's definitely going to put a baby there,
no,
Trevor.
Cole is now in a place where he follows you everywhere because he can crawl everywhere.
That's awesome.
So literally, you'll be like, I'm going over here, and then you're... constantly.
Oh.
And you go... And you're just like, Cole, it's okay. I'm right here. But he's just like, and he goes so fast. Yeah. So fast. Can you imagine? Up.
Buddy, I'm trying to work. How'd you get down from the roof?
I love it.
Okay. This is about Smosh in general.
All right.
Guys, take a breather.
Okay.
This is from Kim. I assumed Ian and Anthony would do bits everywhere, like during meetings and at lunch, and also pranking their employees, LOL.
Aww.
That's very sweet.
Well, if you've been to our All Hands meeting, I mean, there are bits happening, lots of bits.
But they're not doing it together.
No, just Ian.
Just Ian is doing bits.
Many,
Anthony's
many
going.
Bits during a big meeting.
Yeah.
Big meeting.
I think it's the kind of thing where, like, you're watching a content creator for so long that you, like, think you fully know what's up and that, like, that's the day-to-day. That, like, even if you work here... If you've watched them for long enough, which I'm assuming Kim did,
it's
probably like, oh, that's what they're gonna do. Same with like, we posted our Jinx Monsoon video, and I saw one of the comments was like, I thought Jinx and Damien would be doing a bunch of bits together. And I'm like, we just met, like, individually.
You guys
like, kind of so
did many bits. You guys kind of were doing bits.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
But like,
I wonder what people think, like, when they picture, like, you guys should just, like, do bits together. Like, what does that mean? Like, what is
doctor, I'd like one shoe.
Well, what's weird is, like, I feel like I do a lot of bits in the office. Shut up, Damien. That was a bit.
I do.
But there's this, like, interview with Kate McKinnon from SNL. Amy Poehler interviews her, and she was like, the hardest thing is that people are so confused when they meet me in real life, because she's actually very serious and chill and very quite introverted. And she was like, people kind of don't like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, like, a big misconception with people who do comedy is, like, when I'm at home, I'm pretty, like, chill.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I'm pretty quiet. I'm pretty chill. I'm not like, hey, honey, get me a cup of coffee. You bastard.
You're in a wig when you wake up.
I'm like, meh. Like,
yeah.
Truly not that often. I mean, we're joking around, but not really.
No, I feel bad. Like, sometimes if I'm, like, out at the mall, I enjoy errands, especially when I'm alone. But, like, when people meet me, I'm just, like, very polite and just, we're not doing bits.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I feel like I do sometimes see the light leave their eyes when they meet me, because I'm just like, hi, oh, thank you. Like, that's so nice.
Yeah.
All right, have a good day, because I
Well, it's kind of like cooking. It's kind of like Trevor when he's, you know, cooking all day.
Yeah.
When we're not doing comedy all day long.
Right.
Yeah.
We're doing errands.
IRL bits are so much different. Like, in real life, I feel like I'm doing bits, but it's all just banter.
Same.
It's all just talking bits. I'm just making jokes. I'm not doing like over-the-top characters or anything like that. Like, I'm just cracking jokes.
Yeah, it's more subtle.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Kim.
Sorry, no bits for the boys.
Listen, Ian does do bits all the time, though. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. And Anthony does laugh at them sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And what is a bit without the laugh afterwards?
That's true.
Really sad moment. A really tough one.
What is a bit without the laughs? Probably a Trevor bit. Am I right?
I didn't laugh on purpose, because that's the bit.
We have another bit for you, Trevor.
Ooh,
a bit. I mean, assumption.
Nice assumption.
Emily Rose assumes that Trevor doesn't have a mean bone in his body and has a hard time being rude, even in situations where he might need to be.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I think it's true.
Because I don't get mean.
No.
There's actually only one in recent memory, and I know that, like, I don't do it because I remember doing it and being so shocked by it. was actually playing basketball.
Oh.
I got mean, and it happened, and I did it, and I was like, that felt so insane to do.
Well,
yeah,
what,
but it's
was
basketball.
It? What was it?
Well, it was justified. So when I play basketball, I play with a group of people that I know.
Mm-hmm,
but we play in a public park, and so occasionally people will roll up and be like, hey, can I like get in a game? And usually it's fine, you know, people at the park are chill. But we had this guy join a game that we were playing, and we play very lax and chill. We're not the type of people that are like, we're trying to do everything we can to win. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to go up and like foul people or block their shots. But I got a steal and I was on a fast break and I was running down the court and going to like make a layup. And this guy chases me down and fully grabs me by the hips I'm running and like pulls me.
Whoa, while you're running.
And I'm like, I get from a pickup basketball standpoint, like I'm about to make a wide open shot and you are preventing me from doing that. But like, and it's pickup basketball, so there's no referees. And I like lost it because I'm like, that's just how you get hurt. Like that's how you hurt people. And so I got mad and I just like kind of like in a stern, louder voice than I would normally use was like, can you get the fuck off me? And I said that and I like, and it was the snappiest I've been maybe in my whole life where I was like, oh, that felt actually mean. But I was like, I don't want to get hurt. Like you, I don't know you and you're coming and you're
grabbing. Did it feel kind of good though? Just like a little bit.
Were you just, how did he respond? How did he respond?
Did it feel any bit like a little bit good?
He didn't snap back or anything. I think he probably felt bad and I don't know. And I felt bad afterwards for doing it. I was like, I was like, that was just mean. But I think it was justified.
It wasn't mean. It was a boundary.
I think it was necessary.
Direct and however stern. Like, I think, yeah, because I agree. I don't think you have a mean bone in your body. I feel like I've never seen you get mean. I've seen you get more caring in how you like, because we have real conversations here sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I genuinely like, that doesn't sound like being mean. I think sometimes when things can feel mean, you know, where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, but that, like, if someone needed to correct me, like, if I was that guy's person, like, if I was that guy, it's like, whoa, that was mean because I feel scared. But you were protecting yourself.
Yeah.
You were establishing a boundary. Your body was being grabbed. And that sounds like an illegal move.
I think,
in a basketball,
if I ever have those, like, if I ever have those moments, like, there's something that needs to come out of me mm-hmm. and release from me that it actually, I do get, like, a good feeling for, like, 5 seconds where it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, my husband says that sometimes I'm like a dragon where I, like, once I see fire, once I see red, it's just like I burn it all down. And I'm like, yeah, whoops. Sometimes it feels kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to then deal with the consequences mm-hmm. after. So then mm-hmm. you have to, like, really be like, was that necessary?
Yeah.
But I do think it is important to get out your anger in a healthy way. I really do because anger can build and build and build.
Well, it's also there to protect you, you know?
Yeah.
It can feel like you are being mean because you don't have to stand up for yourself in that stern way, but it is not mean inherently to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
And I know it sometimes feels hard to, like, you know, like what Court was saying about, you know, having them be scared or whatever, but like protecting yourself, protecting the people around you, that is your responsibility. If their response to it is like, oh, I felt sad or upset because you stuck mm-hmm. basically stuck up for yourself.
Yeah.
That's not really on you.
No.
Sometimes you're going to disappoint people. Like sometimes you're going to just say no to someone in general and they're going to be like,
they're going to be pissed.
That sucked. You suck. I hate you that you said no, but it's like, okay.
What was their response?
Well, that's, I think, one of the reasons maybe I felt bad is because they did, like, immediate, like, they didn't, like, get mean back. Like, they didn't snap back or anything.
Sorry.
I think they did realize, like, oh, that was kind of like a, I shouldn't have done that, like, type of thing. And so then I was like, oh, it was mean. Like, I think if they'd snapped mm-hmm. back, I would have been like, bro, like, come on. Like, what are you doing? But I just, yeah.
No, it's good that they didn't snap back because they were like, oh, yeah, shit. I actually crossed your boundaries. My bad.
And you're someone who's self-aware where you're like, oh, I feel mean. But, like, that person didn't know you. You didn't know them. Like, they don't know who they're messing with. You don't know who you're messing with. It's like with road rage. Like, you really, like, you don't know who else is on the road. You gotta be careful with strangers. Like, I've learned, like, say, like, at the gym, I've learned that I need to skip the first few polite steps in establishing boundaries and just get straight to being direct and a little bit loud.
Yeah.
Because sometimes another person who's, like, I used to work out at a gym that was, like, really bro-y, and I really had to, like, claim my space.
Yeah.
And so I had to, and then, like, not even, so, like, sometimes you just have to, you know what I mean?
Oh, you must. I think it's super important, especially, I mean, I grew up in, like, a very, not my family, but where I came from is very, we express our emotions mainly through anger. Like, our love is a little bit through anger. Like, yeah. I love you so much, how dare you vibes. And I had to learn that I used to be so overwhelmed by it that I would let it, like, overflow all the time. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was, like, the necessary thing to do to communicate, but it's actually not. But then I started to shame the anger, and then I was like, oh, how do I use this anger? Because it is like a tool inside of me that I need to use. So I learned specifically for me that I have anger and it's okay and it's energy. And that's why I started doing Muay Thai. That's why I started doing martial arts, because it made me understand how to get it out. Because literally, H will be like, did you do a workout today? Did you get out and do something? Did you do something today? And I'm like, nope, I didn't. And I feel it.
Why do you ask?
It's real. I'm not like a super snappy person. I think also that's why it felt so weird, because it was just immediate. Like, I didn't think about it. Like, they did it and I was like, immediately did it. But that's the only place I ever get like a little bit chippy or snappy, I think, is when I'm playing basketball.
I love it.
And it's never like bad. I'm never being super mean to anyone. Like, I'm never, but I'll get a little bit chippy. I'll get a little scrappy.
Hey, foul ball.
So it's, you do have a mean bone in your body, but it's the one you keep when you're in danger.
Hey, foul ball, strike out.
Yeah. Foul ball.
Sorry. Pop fly into the end zone, you know?
No, I genuinely don't think you have a mean bone in your body, and like hearing those, even those, it's like, that sounds like it just came from a real, like, a place of...
Coming from a protective place of yourself.
Yeah.
All right, we got one here. An assumption from Ollie for Damien.
Whoa. I love Ollie.
Ollie assumes Damien gets zero sleep because he's always booked and busy.
Oh,
and sleep patterns.
Zero sleep. Assumption.
I feel like you get sleep.
I'm getting better. Better about it. I used to, like, even as recently as last year, I'd started doing, like, conventions more for the voice acting stuff. I would do Smosh whenever possible. I would also stream, like, I was very much, like, rigorously, like, I need to do 3 times a week, and now I'm, like, maybe 2. But, I'm starting to set, like, life boundaries a little better, where, like, sometimes things will reach out and happen, and I'll be like, oh, I'm technically free during this time, but maybe I shouldn't because I'm doing too many other things. Mm-hmm. And I'm prioritizing, like, in bed by midnight, hopefully, or just whenever will allow me 8 hours of sleep. But yeah, I don't know. I also think that throughout, like, my 20s, the nighttime was where I felt least anxiety, because no one needs you for anything after midnight.
Oh.
And you can't even expect yourself to get work done after midnight. It's after midnight. So I would like stay up from midnight to 3, not even just doing anything like specific. It's just, this is my time. Yeah. The world is quiet and I get to be too. Oh,
I get that on another level now, having a kid, is that when Cole goes to bed at 7 on the dot every single night, I know no matter what, at 7:30, I'm going to be able to eat dinner, take a shower, read any text that I have that I haven't even looked at.
Sure.
Like, be on my phone at all. And the bedtime with him is so, so, so sweet. And then you put him to bed and you're like, whoa, I have the night. It's like, it's really important to have that for yourself, because people can still reach you, but you also can turn your phone on silent and you don't need to reach them back.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm glad you heard that too.
No, I got my bedtime set on my phone for like 10:30. So at 10:30, my phone automatically goes into DND, and I don't get any
roll for snooze.
Roll for snooze. So if you text me after 10:30 and I don't respond, that's probably why. So.
Yeah, nice. You text me after 7:30.
I do like that. Like, you can have it set so, or I at least see when people like have Do Not Disturb on. You can like see that they have it. I'm like, okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's for the overthinkers out there.
It's
like, Trevor hates me.
Yeah, glad you're getting sleep. That's important.
Sleep is very
claiming
important.
Your time for yourself. That's Thank important
you.
Too.
Thank you.
Here we go. I'm caught up. Don't look, Amanda.
Dude, stop freaking looking.
This is an issue that I have. I read people's texts, and I'm sorry about it.
It's hard not to like look at.
Sometimes I'll be sitting there, and Angela will bring up her phone, and I'm like, oh, that's fun.
This one's What's so wrong silly. With me? Okay, well, Amanda, this assumption's about you.
Ooh.
You didn't see it already. Anders assumes Amanda wants to play Resident Evil and have Spencer watch.
Oh,
that would be so cool.
He is correct.
Dude. You want to play?
Oh, I want to play. And the thing is, I didn't want to play as we were doing it. Like, as we were doing it, I very much enjoyed being commentary. I also was like, pretty pregnant and very hungry almost all of those videos. And most of the time it was a secret. So mm-hmm. I was just eating snacks, and Spencer was like, damn, eating snacks. I don't even think he said wow. that. But
I was like, I don't think you can say that, Spencer.
No, no.
Crazy. Yeah, you're really putting it away there.
Spencer can say anything.
That's not what I meant.
Another granola
bar. I meant it for sound, because it didn't sound good, guys.
Got it.
Because I was eating like carrots, and Scott knows. Oh, I was eating like carrots and nuts and things that felt good on a pregnant person.
Yeah.
Guys, don't do that, all right?
Another pickle and quail egg sandwich. You and your weird snacks.
Ew.
Well, I don't know, pregnancy cravings, whatever, I don't know.
Oh, no, pregnancy cravings is just saltines and berries. That's it. That's all you can
have. You're crazy.
I'm crazy. But when we first started playing Resident Evil, I genuinely loved watching because I needed to get my footing. I needed to be like, what is going on mm-hmm. in the world? Now that Spencer did the, like, okay, the slideshow of, like, here is the lore, now I'm like, oh, I want to play this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, also with Five Nights at Freddy's, when you know— I don't even know if it was Shane showing me Five Nights at Freddy's or them, whatever.
It was Shane and Spencer pranking you, telling you Five Nights at Freddy's was based on
the
real story.
Yes, exactly. And then once we started playing, I was like, oh, I want to play this. I realized I'm really into, like, horror gaming.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Couldn't be me.
I want to be... when we played the virtual Five Nights at Freddy's... Mm-hmm.
The VR was crazy.
I was so... Chica was... like touching the ceiling.
It's crazy.
It was so awesome.
Crazy looking.
So, no, Chica, don't get me.
No.
Chica, no.
Oh, hell no.
Chica, no.
Those are some of my favorite videos to watch because I am also a huge Resident Evil fan, also like a Silent Hill fan. And I was saying this to somebody the other day, like Spencer really pitched the perfect video because there is no better, like, even birthday present you can get for someone than, like, if you love a thing and two friends want to be like, we don't know anything about the thing. Can you tell us about your favorite thing? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, my God. Like, the getting to tell you guys about Resident Evil, I'm like, that's the coolest thing possible.
And when I played Baldur's Gate with you, that was so much fun.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't play. I was sitting there, like, doing all the voices because it was fun for me.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Whether I have the controls or not, like, it's fun to be a part of it. But hell yeah, I want to... play.
Yeah, I mean, clearly a lot of people love that explaining video. Like, that did well.
It was so fun, and we got really inspired by it, because, like, Spencer was really giddy about the lore, and Angela and I were, since we had already played, we had so many fun questions, and like, wait, why is that? And he was like, yeah, why is that?
Games need the podcast, for sure.
So true. I don't know why I whispered that.
So
okay.
True.
Courtney, this is about you.
Oh,
Caitlin assumed Courtney was in the homecoming court, but doesn't want to talk about it.
I've never been in homecoming court. I was nominated 1 year.
Hey.
And that was the weirdest experience. Have you ever been in homecoming court?
Yeah.
I think you're talking to a king.
Oh my God, are you homecoming king?
I was not a king. We didn't have like a king. It was like a weird, I don't know, it was like a Christian school thing. It was just like, we just had like three pairs
like John,
of people.
Joseph?
Yeah. We got the Jesus, the homecoming Jesus.
Yeah. You were God?
Yeah,
that's
weird. I was the one that brought the frankincense or whatever.
Perfect.
Yeah, my friend was Myrrh. No, it is weird.
I don't know if it's the same for, because when... I can't remember which year it was, and I was genuinely, I was shocked. I was like, what, who, and why? And they have all the, at least it was, of course, separated by gender. They had all the people nominated for Homecoming Queen come sit down in front of one of the principals, and he sucked. He was so mean to me.
Ew.
He just sucked, and it just felt like, it felt like a power play where they like had us three women sit next to each other as if we were supposed to be like competing for some reason, and then told us who the winner was going to be.
The principal did?
Like, in front of us was like, you guys
all right,
did
Mark,
not win.
You choose the queen. Mark's like, farewell, you know, hate like, them.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like, I can't remember if they called in all three of us and told us who the winner was, or if they called in two of the three of us and told us that we both didn't win. And
that's either way.
And I remember her and I...
favorite time of year. It's like, God, I can't wait
love
to come to the office.
It was just so weird. And I remember when the other person and I left, we were just like, looked at each other and we're like, okay, like, what was that? Never weird. Been in a... I did go to prom 3 times.
Me too. Oh.
3 proms. Sophomore, junior, senior.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I never pretty went to crazy. Prom.
Really?
Yeah, I never only went to prom. One.
Never went... You went to... Wait.
I only went to one.
Okay, so you went to one. No,
why didn't you go to prom?
Junior, senior year, I did, like, a distance learning, like, homeschool, whatever program, because I was trying to pursue, like, acting at the same time.
Yeah.
So I just...
You were
kinda,
doing cool shit.
Well, not really. But yeah, in an attempt to do cool shit. But I went to homecoming while I was at school.
I think it's okay. I mean, prom is fun. It's like in the moment, it is like feels like the most important thing in the world. I mean, for me, TV spray tan, of course.
I feel like movies and TV make it the biggest deal.
I had a crazy, I only went to prom my senior year and I went with my best friend Nick because we were like, I don't know if we really want to like ask dates or do the whole prom thing. Yeah. We were like, it seems like a lot and we kind of just like want to go have a fun time. And the guidance counselor of our school, who was also the mother of a girl in our grade, like ripped into us about it.
What?
Like got really, she was like, you have a duty to ask a girl and take her to prom. And we were like, bro, we just want to go have a good time.
I want to play this woman.
Crazy, bro.
I need to play this woman. Who's just like, you have a duty to your school.
Crazy.
You must ask a woman. This is how she becomes a woman.
Oh my God.
Insane, bro.
You need to have the corsage.
I don't think it's that deep. We just want to show up and have a, like, we both got dressed up. We took some pictures together.
You
like,
should have asked, were you ever asked? That's what you should have asked this woman. Were you ever asked? And she would have been like,
you 1996.
I was not. Maybe.
Wait, guys. Homecoming court. Yoda Shane asking Courtney if they're on their way home.
Homecoming court.
I hate that. Stop that right
now. Anyone?
Awesome.
Anyone? Pretty good.
Yes.
Pretty good.
From the movie.
From the Star Wars.
That's awesome.
Wait, come on. Come on, it's Yoda.
I do love Yoda.
Y'all did just unlock a prom memory for me where I had the opportunity to go. The year after graduating, spoiler alert, I said no. But someone that worked with my dad, I think, had like a daughter that didn't have a date. And she like saw my headshot on my dad's desk or something like that. And was like, hey, you've got like a cool Hollywood son. Like, we'll pay for him to come back and like take, you know, the daughter to the dance and all that stuff. And even at like young, naive 18 or 19 Damien, I was like, No.
Oh my God.
No, I don't think that's normal.
Someone has a date that is like, I think there's like an age gap of like, oh, if you're 1 or 2 years out of high school, you're allowed to be the date of someone who is in high school. Cause like, you know, when you're like a couple years apart in high school and then it's finally your time and your partner's there were like, I think my high school had some rules about that.
We had to get, and granted, I went to a small class, so it was probably easier to vet things, but you had to like get them approved.
Yes.
Yeah. You can bring like a 45 year old to prom or anything like that.
But he's a young 45.
My boyfriend is coming in his Mustang. He's 45.
My boyfriend's crazy. Wow.
Great. You just bring him here and we will have a sting operation set up and
FBI open up.
I love that this girl saw your headshot and she was like, "Who's this famous hunk?"
No, it was her mom. The mom was like, "Oh, I know. Why don't we just fly out your son
again,
and we'll pay him to take
wow. another like, woman I need to play." Oh, yeah. It is your duty as a man to ask a woman
dude,
to prom.
It was crazy, man. There's another story about that woman that is a lot more messed up.
Sounds like they're a problematic person because God forbid you're not interested in women.
I just need that information. Just for research, if you want to write it all down from this woman.
Yeah, it's I'll put together a little one sheet for you.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Liz says, after working with talent through the years in LA, I assumed there would be at least one diva in a bad way at Smosh. Not true. Everyone, all caps, has been so welcoming, kind, and hardworking.
Aww.
So cute.
Well, she's like, not true. Everyone's a diva. Yeah. All of them.
I know. All
Every
of them
one.
Divas.
Prima donnas. Yeah, I think in terms of like not only just being younger folks in Los Angeles, but also working in the YouTube space, we lucked out in an incredible way. And it speaks to the character of the folks that work here and the talent themselves to not have become that type of stereotype. Mm-hmm. It's like everything needs to be about me because it's so easy to watch people become that.
Yeah.
No one did.
Yeah, I love that, Lisa. That's very kind. I also think like when someone is deemed a diva, I feel like we've had so many different eras of Smosh and different leadership where like I would have been called a diva for establishing a healthy boundary. You know what I'm saying? Like things have changed and like I feel like our company, like there's so much accommodating, caring, professional behavior here that like, yeah, it's very sweet of Liz to say that.
I love Liz. Yeah. I also think too, like the industry is in a very weird place, and we're all just really, really grateful to be here. Really grateful to have jobs.
Yeah.
Really grateful to be working. Like, the fact that we get to come to set, you know, Monday through Friday and create and, you know, mostly be on camera and just be able to be in a group setting where we are talking about art is what?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So it's like, okay, being a diva, setting boundaries, I think is really important, but it's like, yeah, why would I, you know, it's amazing.
Liz did clarify parentheses in a bad way. Right, so I'm assuming that's through the modern lens.
There's two
of
types
like,
of divas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Mariah Carey. I don't know which one she is.
And then the other one.
She's both actually.
Okay. So you've told us nothing.
And then the other one. Mariah Carey. You decide.
I do feel like all the cast, like we are all very empathetic people. Like, I don't think any of us are really like toned. Like, I think we all have a pretty good grasp on like how our actions affect others, generally speaking, yeah. which I think, yeah, it's just like, yeah, I think if we were being, any of us were like doing something diva-esque, I think we would be like self-aware about it. We're like, oh, this is kind of like a diva thing to
do.
Yeah,
or feel yeah. bad about it later.
Yeah.
But
real.
Chance, did you just tell that PA not to look you in the eyes? Like, that was a little weird back there. Yeah.
Here we go. This is from Rain for Damien.
Wow.
Because Damien is such a sweet guy, I assumed he'd be too concerned with offending others with jokes, but he has some of the greatest burns I've seen the cast do.
Oh, ooh, that's so
roaster.
Nice.
Roaster.
You know what? I think I've gone, there's been ebbs and flows, because I think when I started at Smosh originally, I was just like, I'll say anything to anyone, ha ha ha, too dark, who cares? And then the sorry, like definitely crept in a lot too, especially like when playing games mm-hmm. and being like, oh, is that too much? Like, and I'd like to think I found like a nice balance now.
Do you feel like it's something to navigate? Because like, I know you have your community and the way you perform on your Twitch channel, you know, and then coming to Smosh, like, do you feel like it is a bit of a change at all when you go between?
That's a good question. Instinctually right off the bat, my answer would be no. Like, I can definitely unpack that and be like, maybe, but I'd like to be pretty much myself when I stream. Like, that's what makes it feel so fun and not like taxing. Like, it's not work because I'm not like putting anything on. So I'll still make like kind of dark, mean jokes about like a character in a game or whatever. So like that vibe is still there.
Your burns are so good. I'm sorry, but like,
really good.
If you ever make burns about me, I'm loving it. They're just like, you just have such a skill at like saying something that maybe we're all thinking, but we're not like formulating it in our heads. And then you say it and it's like, oh my God, yeah. It's so funny.
Well, thank you.
It's yeah. so funny.
I really appreciate that. And I, you know what? I specifically also appreciate Rain a lot because sometimes I'll say something in a video that like, you know, if there's something more chaotic or louder happening or the focus is elsewhere and like the thing I'll say will get missed. Like maybe I didn't time it well because actually there's another interaction going on and mm-hmm. that's how it goes. But Rain is always the one that will like zoom in on it and caption it or just like, somehow have that, like, yeah. make sure it's in there. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that's crazy.
The editors yeah. see y'all. Like,
thanks, Rain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do y'all feel ever like you have to balance?
It's funny because I think I felt the opposite of you where you said, like, when I first came in, I was just guns a-blazing. I feel like when I first came in, I was like, I don't want to be mean to anyone. Yeah. I don't want to be. And then, like, I getting more comfortable with everyone. I was like, okay. And let loose a little bit more. I've never been hurt, I think, there's never been a roast or anything from any castmate where I, like, was like, oh, that was funny, but, like, I did take it, like, everything's like, yeah, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. You're making great jokes, and I trust all of you, and you're all great, and I know
same.
That.
It's the best. Like, when you, like, Angela put it in a funny way where it's like, my love language is, like, being bullied, but, like, not really, but it's like when you see each other in a way where it's like, I love you so much that, you, like, we can call each other out, and it's all
be
love.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Yes. I will never forget the Tommy's, like, my favorite roast of me was Tommy's, like, Damien died so fast, he was gone in the blink of both eyes really hard.
Oh, yeah. that was crazy.
It was awesome, because, like, I'm usually, like, I really try to work on my facial tics. I really try my best to, like, not have them come out, especially during videos. But having it called out that way was just like, yeah, of course, I love Tommy. Like,
that's so funny.
So funny.
We were just talking about your funeral roast. Like, literally just talking about it.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, like, God, your funeral was
like
my—
I wish he died for real.
Your funeral was, like, my favorite one to do.
There's something, like, really beautiful about all of us, like, knowing each other so well that we can, like, come up with these very, like, clever and funny ways to roast each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not just like, hey, you fucking suck, Damien. Hey, stinky. Yeah.
Hey, stinky.
It's like, you're saying things that it's like, oh, that's like a roast, but, it, like, you noticed something about me that, like, you know, you, like, took the time to think about
stinky.
Who I am as a person.
Yes.
Like, it's well thought out.
Big time.
Stinky.
Thank
you. You have to know me well to make that roast. That's very sweet.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Lizzie said, I assumed Amanda gave the best hugs. In parentheses, I was right.
Aww. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bro. Yeah, it's really sweet.
Amanda gives a crazy hug.
I give hugs.
Okay. It's real. Sorry. It's real. Amanda gives good hugs, and everyone says it. Yep. Everyone knows.
I don't know, guys. I think I grew up in a family where like we hugged. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like
you were angry and you hugged.
You were angry and you hugged. Like we hugged and you felt all the emotion. And I also think it's like, you know, moving away from home, like a hug was like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm imprinting this moment right now. So like, I don't know if it's because of that, but I really do love to hug.
You give like fearless hugs. Like I think.
Oh, good.
When I like hug, fearful hugs. I think like when I hug friends, like you hug for real, but there's something about it where it's like, you know, sometimes you're like angled away a little bit. Or it's just like, hey, good to see you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You give like a, it's so good to see you, whomp, and then you're just engulfed and you're like,
yes.
This is nice.
I commit. But you know, sometimes I'll hug people without, you know, knowing if they want to hug or not. And I just go in for it. And then I go,
thing.
Oh, whoop.
And then Trevor just yells, can you get the fuck off me? Yeah.
And then I go, oh, sorry, bro. No. Can you get the fuck off me?
I think and this is for me personally, but I think it's also a height thing. You're a great height to hug for me.
That's so true.
Yes.
For me specifically, it's like, yeah, you're a great height to hug.
We have good hugs.
That's good.
Height compatibility.
I definitely, like, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I definitely like know there's a thought in my head sometimes. Like, Rory's in the building today, and I was like, oh, there's Rory. And I remember who gives good hugs. And so I'm like, oh, Rory gives great hugs. I'm ready
Rory
for this
gives
hug.
Great hugs.
Like, I go in.
You Rory know gives great hugs. My husband also gives really good hugs. Like, that's sometimes I'll just literally be like, can I have a hug?
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'll hug for a really long time, and it solves all your problems.
It does.
Same with my fiance. It's another, also a height thing because she's taller. Like she's
tall, right?
We are such.
How tall is she? She's
5'10".
Okay, she's 5'10". Yeah.
I'm like, she's my height, right?
No, I wasn't going to say it, guys.
No, like it's great. I definitely got I got lucky with her for a variety of reasons, but specifically the hugging is great.
Height.
Because like she is just amazing to hug for me.
Yeah. It's really, really nice.
This one's from Kim. I thought Courtney was going to be the type to want to borrow other people's makeup and would always be popping their own bubble gum. Love you, Courtney.
Less than three.
Which is
borrowing
a heart.
Makeup and popping my bubble gum.
Pop that bubble gum.
I guess that's like Valley Girl.
That's so funny.
Girls, girl.
I mean, yeah, I used to be a bubble gum popper. I'm a gum. Like, we used to crack my gum a lot. Like, where you crack it against the roof of your mouth.
Yeah. That's a more dignified pop.
You don't really borrow
people's
makeup.
It's a private pop.
No, people borrow my makeup. And you can.
Kim, you could not be more wrong.
Court has great makeup.
Anyone in here can borrow my makeup.
Court has really good makeup.
Thank you. That's so funny. And then I think I just stopped doing gum in general because of filming.
Well, Court, are you doing gum?
I'm doing.
We all love you.
Oh my God,
please
you're
don't
back.
Do
I'm still doing gum.
I'm gumming.
Amanda, no.
And I've decided it's fine.
You have a kid now.
Please. No, my kid's gonna do gum too. When he gets older and gets
no,
teeth.
That's a real thing though. I feel like when I'm chewing gum, I'm like, I kind of want to get some mileage out of it. Like it feels wrong to chew a stick of gum for like 5 minutes.
I hate that. I'm like, I have to throw this away.
Yeah, I'm like, I still got a good. I got a good 20 left on this stick. Like, what are we doing?
Gum in your car. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. What a ride.
Yeah.
What a ride. Trust me, when you have a kid, it's the little pleasures. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I'm gonna go to the grocery store and chew some gum in my car. Yeah, baby.
I keep fruity the Mentos, the fruity Mentos.
The fruity, fruity gum in the car.
Like
that's
Orbit.
Such a move.
Yummy.
I got to introduce someone to the like classic jingle, the Mentos jingle the other day. They'd never heard it.
What is it?
They're like, doesn't matter what comes, fresh goes better in life with the Mentos fresh and full of love. Oh my God.
Wait, remember those commercials?
Yeah,
where he'd sit on like a bench and there was like paint on it and he got up and he was like, oh,
it's
damn.
It's all about like
and
shrugging
like,
off.
No, take a Mentos.
Okay, here's the deal. Let me pitch this to you real quick because I see the quizzical looks. This particular jingle has like that 80s level swell in the middle of it where like, you know, like sometimes 80s like Saturday morning cartoon songs just hit different and you were like, damn, DuckTales didn't need to do that.
Oh, I love DuckTales.
Exactly. It's that, but with Mentos. And when they're like, fresh goes better. And it's like the whole crowd
it's like
coming
the
and be
full
like,
house opening. Remember?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, everywhere you look. Everywhere you look.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's a pie.
We can't do that, can we?
I need to share the Mentos theme with y'all.
Honestly, I loved the Mentos commercials. I remember them very well.
They're good stuff.
I remember the Juicy Fruit commercials very vividly.
Were those the ones that would like turn you different? No, I'm thinking of Gushers.
That's Gushers. Fruit, Juicy Fruit, I think there was like Lego ones. It was like, I don't even know.
A fellow like me was, I was riffing the Stanley Steamer. The Stanley Steamer makes your home cleaner.
It used to be carpets cleaner too.
Call 1-800-STEAMER. That and J.G. Wentworth. Those were the ones that were always in my head.
Or I take one, that me and Ian sing and we go, we are farmers. Greenhouse gases killed my dog.
That's Courtney. I just want you to know that I've never heard that theme the same again. You have earwormed me, and it's just there.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yep.
I don't know.
Anyways, what's next,
dude? No, but fruity gum in the car—that's real. Because if I'm eating mint gum, that's like utility gum, you know. But fruity gum in the car, like on a drive, I'm like, that's nice.
Juicy Fruit, though, I feel like, or like, no, I'm thinking of Fruit Stripe.
Worse than I thought.
Fruit Stripe was like.
Remember the zebra? Was that the zebra?
It was the zebra.
Gum?
And it is a whisper of flavor for a quarter of a second.
But
that quarter of a second, man,
exhilarating.
It hits.
Yeah, and don't get me started on the ouch. Anyone
the Band-Aids.
They came in the little tin.
Oh, yes, my God, those were so cute.
They used to make Sonic the Hedgehog bubblegum, too. It would look like it was in, like, a little plastic Sega Game Gear, which was their answer to the Game Boy or whatever. And you'd, like, open up the front, and it was this massive strip of bubblegum. And I would have to, I would chew through it as fast as I could because there would be a couple, like, Sonic trading cards in the back.
In the gum?
Yeah, it was just full of the gum.
Kids, whoa!
And I'm just like, oh, already out.
Kids aren't eating the themed bubblegum these days, are they?
No.
You know what? Go to any like
cigarettes.
Japanese candy store that has like
vaping.
A Japanese
they're
candy.
They're vaping.
And there's just a bunch of stuff with little trading cards in it.
So. Well, I love that. Yeah.
All right, here we go. We got a fresh one. Huh? This is from Gareth for you, Damien. Based on Damien's bird knowledge, I assume he knows the national bird of South Africa.
we all know.
He doesn't know
of course.
It.
I mean,
hold on, let's try and rework. Let's try and work the problem here. What kind of birds do we think are in the southern hemisphere in an arid climate?
An ostrich, I guess, it would be there potentially.
An ostrich is definitely there.
I want to do something like the keru.
No.
Or like something very specific. But that's not the kind of bird fact
starling.
I like. You know what I mean? Oh, that'd be cool.
Everybody has, they know what birds they like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, I learned the other day that like, you know, the quails have that little like, boop, in the
California.
Front. That's six feathers. It's not just one little boop, it's six feathers. And I'm like, that's the kind of cool bird fact I want. Six not like, birds. What bird did Benjamin Franklin
now
fight?
Now you're just procrastinating because you don't know the answer, Damien.
I don't know,
Damien.
Ostrich. It's a dumb answer.
Wait, ostrich, can I guess one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say penguin.
Whoa, what? I'm gonna say flamingo.
I'm gonna say the shoebill.
I'm gonna say this isn't a real bird that I know, but I'm gonna say it's something like a red-necked puddle hopper.
What?
Yeah.
See, it's like, it seems like that's the type of bird that would be.
Birds get silly names. Fish get names from people who hate fish.
Yeah.
They're like, this is the gap-tooth bass. And you're like, whoa. Like, yeah.
What is the answer, Nicole?
The blue crane.
I was going to say probably some crane-looking thing.
A crane is beautiful.
Yeah. A blue crane is a tall ground-dwelling bird, but is fairly small by the standards of the crane family.
Whoa, small crane.
This is a weird question, but does anyone have in their family, like a family member has passed away and they've come back as a bird? Does anyone have that in their family?
I have a really weird story about that.
Tell me.
I grew up with parrots. Those were the family pets.
Same.
And so there was an African gray named Picasso.
Of course.
And he mimicked my father's voice. So after my father passed away when I was 19, my childhood best friend was making a delivery. Like, I forget what the job was, but I had to make a delivery at some house. And here's my dad's voice, like from like the back room. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Is that Picasso? And they were like, yeah, we have this parrot now. And so like he heard my dad's voice because the parrot sounded like him. But like years later, just the mind fuck of being like, oh my God, I hear that voice. Like, isn't that crazy?
His parrots live a long time.
Picasso
that's
will be like
so
100.
Intense. Yeah. Wait, crazy. Where is Picasso?
It was a family friend. It was like the friend of a family friend. My mom couldn't handle him on his own. I was in college. Like all of our birds dispersed to like very good families.
Your dad's voice is still.
I'm assuming he's around. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Wow. So, but why did you bring that up?
Oh, because my papa is, my family believes that he comes back in a red cardinal.
That's so sweet.
My mom brings it up all the time because red cardinals will randomly come to her porch. And she's like, Papa. And one time I took a picture of her and my aunts literally looking out at something. And I was like, God, they must be looking at something amazing out there. Like they see a fox or something crazy. And they're all like, and I was like, what do they see? And my mom went, it's Papa, the red cardinal. And I was like, that's
it's
really.
Papa.
So now
Papa.
Every time I think of a red cardinal, because I don't see them out here, really. Yeah. I think of Papa.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
How would you guys want to come back?
I want it to be something like unmistakable. Like, you know, when people are like, oh, it's a butterfly, but it's a place where butterflies would be. I want to be like, I want you to be a fucking elephant seal in the city. Like, you like, you know.
You want to be a shark? The sharks that take over a city? Yeah, like in Sharknado?
Yeah.
I want like a beautiful humpback whale.
That's gorgeous.
But I want like a specific scar on my tail. So every time my tail goes up, you're like, there's Amanda. And the scar looks like a star, like stars.
You want to come back as a basketball?
Yeah, I think so. No. I want to come back as LeBron James.
I just saw him on TV. I don't think he's like doing super great.
The moment he's dead, you're like, dibs.
I got him. No, I want to swap places with my dogs. I want to be the dog.
Napkin?
I want Napkin and Osito to come back as humans and me to be a dog. And then I get to do to them what they've done to me.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So you want revenge.
Wow.
Revenge and, you know, repayment. You know, for all the joy that they've brought me and all of the annoyance that they brought me, barking in the middle of the night, got an 8 a.m. freaking call time, Osito, and you're yapping, bro.
Yeah. So sorry. Where do their souls go in this equation? If you're taking over their body, they are just...
They meet the true death.
Well, no, I don't, it's more of like a... That's crazy.
I don't think I've ever gotten Damien that hard.
It was also Courtney's face behind you, just like...
Oh my God. Really? The truth.
Eat the real
I don't know, you know, in the reincarnation, I come back as a dog, they come back as a human, you know, we find each other.
Yeah, I love that.
That's cute.
That's really cute.
I'd probably be like a house cat, because I don't want to... I love all the wild animals, but I want to be soft and clean.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. You want to keep it clean.
I'll be a cat and I'll quickly find someone to take care of me.
No, yeah. Literally, they're just like laying around all day and they just got toys and eat food. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's the fucking life, mm-hmm. bro.
Wow.
My cats are so loved.
Yep.
I just want to be a scarred animal. Okay. You go.
You introed.
Guys, that was ASS Assumptions. Thank you guys so much. We love the crew so much. Their assumptions were actually so sweet.
Very nice.
I guess I don't need to confront anyone, which would have been so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You're off the hook this time, Brennan.
Thank you guys for joining us. I can't wait for the next assumptions. We can't wait to hear what you guys think we do or we are. We love it. Okay,
we
bye.
Love it. Love you. Bye.
Happy birthday if it's your birthday.